Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
901 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. We have Rob Chair in the update. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a couple minutes. Right now we go out to the guest line. Our buddy Scott Lauber, the Inquirer, in a very strange time. Scott, it's first of all, how are you? How's your family? Everyone healthy? Everyone good?
Everyone's good, Joe. How are you?
Good. We're trying to make the best of, it's a weird and strange and sad situation. But, Scott, I just saw this as I saw your name pop up on the screen and you were on the line. Tomorrow would have been the home opener. So it's mm-hmm. weird getting through the start of the year without baseball.
Yeah, it sure is. It would have been. And I'm actually working on, we do a newsletter, a Phillies newsletter, and I'm actually working on that right now. And I was just writing that it would have been the home opener, and we know what that's like. You know, people play hooky from work and get the kids home early from school, and they go over to the ballpark, and it's kind of like it's sort of a civic holiday, right? Every year it's kind of a party, an annual, party every year. It's usually during the middle of the week, and, obviously we're not going to have any of that tomorrow. So, it's like it was last week when we had opening day come and go. It's kind of one of those times to check the calendar, see what would have been, and hope that we'll have it later on.
Yes. Scott, let's talk about some of the ideas that have been floated out there and thoughts baseball has had. And obviously none of this could be anything close to in stone. They're just kind of batting around ideas until we have some sort of an idea of when restrictions will be lifted and maybe sports can return to some capacity. But Scott, I saw one today. Baseball is the idea is 100 games, start on July 1st, no All-Star game, regular season through October 15th, and then a neutral site World Series with the idea I saw today was Dodger Stadium, probably, I would guess, sometime in the middle of November, just based on the timeline there. What do you think about that? Like the idea of a neutral site World Series, if they extend the season, because by the time we get to late October and into November or later, you can't really play baseball in this part of the country.
So I think the first thing, Joe, is the really, of all the questions that we don't have answers to, there's really only one that matters, which is, will there be a season? And if the answer to that question is no, then everything else is moot. So I think they've got to answer that question first, and they haven't been able to do that. I know they're hopeful. They're hopeful that they'll be able to get some sort of a season in, and that's what everyone's rooting for. But, there are so many questions around that, like will they be able to play in all 30 cities? Will fans be able to attend, especially at the outset? So many things are just totally up in the air. I think if you told them that they'd be able to play 100 games this year, they would be over the moon about that. Just because that would mean sort of June-ish, maybe early to mid-June sort of start. Or you said July 1st. I've heard July 4th get kicked around as an idea. Maybe start with an All-Star game on the 4th of July. How American pastimey could that be? And that would be a good way to sort of kick off everything. you know, it wouldn't even matter who's in the game. As long as the biggest stars in the league were there, you wouldn't have to worry, is so-and-so having an all-star season or not. There's so much they can do. There's so much that they can experiment with. And I think that's the thing you hear the most when you talk to people around the game, is that if they can have a season, you know, that as much as everyone would like to play as close to 162 games as possible to maintain, you know, the integrity of a season and the integrity of the sport, you know, it's going to go down no matter what happens, as this, you know, that weird year of coronavirus, you know, where they didn't play a full season and all, you know, all these things happened, where spring training was, you know, suspended in the middle and then picked up later. So it's always going to be that outlier season. Why not just experiment with things? If you want to, you know, if you want to put a runner on second base in the top of the 10th inning, this is the year to do that and see how that works. So baseball could decide, if they're able to play, to kind of get a little funky here and try out some of the things that we've been talking about in the abstract now for years and years. And I wonder, you know, especially as they get into, you know, well, it's not going to start in June, or maybe it'll start July 4th. The less and less of a season you get, I think the more and more open to experimentation they can really be.
Yeah.
And that could be exciting. I mean, I've thought about the idea of, like, what if they played like a 60-game season and it was like a two-month sprint to the playoffs? How exciting would every game be? All of a sudden, this season that, you know, baseball is so long, 162 games, yada, yada, yada. Well, now every game is like, I don't want to say it's like an NFL game, because the season wouldn't be that short, but you'd be playing every day for 2 months and every game would carry so much weight. So a shorter season in a lot of ways could be a more exciting season too. So I think they're going to try to make chicken salad out of this whole situation, and we'll see how if they're able to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the one thing, and Scott, I love baseball, it's my favorite sport, but the one thing that it lacks, and I have to admit this, it lacks urgency. You know, I love the game, so I put the game on every night, and I'm here
right.
and talking about the game every night. But it does lack urgency for the average fan. Like, oh, whatever, it's May 12th, the Phillies have 100 games or whatever. Like, there is an urgency night to night, but the idea you had, and it might have to become reality, I mean, that's urgency, because we all get excited for the pennant races, but every game would be the pennant race.
Yeah, right from the jump, you know? I mean, if you got off to a bad start, you'd be finished. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things within that. Rosters will be expanded early. So if you're the Phillies, you know, do you put Spencer Howard on your opening day roster with the idea that he could be your number five starter? He could pitch four innings a game, or at least at the beginning. I think at the beginning, everyone's going to be pitching four or five innings, every starter, you know, and do that. I mean, there are just so many possibilities league-wide and then within each team that could get kicked around, that it would be a pretty exciting few months. And let's face it, if there are games, you know, I think we're at the situation that we're in right now, we're just, you know, everyone's just hoping that there's a season. So if there are games at all this year, I think people are going to enjoy that and maybe look at it with a little bit of a different view or a little bit of a different lens than they normally would have, because we're sitting here today on April 1st, not knowing if there's even going to be a season.
Yeah, we don't know that. The other thing we don't know, Scott, but I have a sense on this one, is I find it very hard to believe that we will have games with fans, at least when the season starts, maybe the entire season. I mean, none of us know how this whole thing's going to go over the next few months, but I just can't wrap my mind around the idea that, okay, we're at a point now where if you and I are in the same room or building, we'd have to be 6 feet apart. Yet, in a few months, if they get the green light that mass gatherings are okay, that we could go back up to 20 or 30 or 40,000 like that. I don't see how it makes logical sense. So, have you started to think about the idea that you could be covering a season with nobody watching in the crowd?
I've thought about a lot of things. I mean, I've thought about that. I've thought about what it might look like when people do come back. I mean, I was on the station a week or so ago with Ricky Ricardo, and he was saying, like, you know, are they going to, like, have to take people's temperature at the gate when they come in? And I said, well, God, I hope not, because if they are, they shouldn't be back yet. So who knows when the right time is going to be and what precautions they're going to have to take. You know, I know after 9/11, security measures were heightened and all of a sudden we had metal detectors and things like that. But that's different, I think, than like taking people's temperature as they walk through the gates of a ballpark. So I don't know. you know, you talk about playing in front of no fans. That certainly seems like it would be a distinct possibility, at least at the beginning. But even then, you know, if you have two teams playing, you've got, you know, let's say the rosters are expanded to 29 players a team. That's 58 players. Plus you have coaching staffs. That's another, conservatively, that's another 20 people. So that's 78. And then you've got medical staffs. And then you've got, you know, equipment people who have to be there. And you've got probably, you know, some, you know, and their staffs. And then you've got probably some security people, because even if there won't be fans in the ballpark, you've got to have the ballpark secure. Now you're up to close to like 100 people. And are we going to be cleared to have that large of a mass gathering? And that's without any fans in the building. So there's just so much that that you think through and you wonder about. And then what happens if, God forbid, you do come back, even in a situation like that, and somebody on one of those teams or in one of those traveling parties tests positive? You know, what do you do then? You quarantine an entire team. So there are just so many things that so many green lights that have to get cleared before you can even consider putting two teams in an empty ballpark together.
It is. We are a long way from it. Scott Lauber is joining us from the Inquirer. Talking a little baseball look, we're all looking forward to that day coming back, and we're trying to think of what it might look like when it does. But, Scott, a couple of Phillies news and notes that I think are interesting. One I saw you wrote about was Sir Anthony Dominguez. And this situation just goes from bad to worse. I mean, when he came on the scene in 2018, for that stretch from late May to early August when he started to lose it a little bit, he was as dominant as any reliever in baseball. And since then, he's lost it. He's been injured. And now another recommendation for Tommy John. Scott, I don't know what the timeline is, what his decision will ultimately be, but you kind of think about it. And his, I guess I'll say, he's not decisive on this. His indecision could cost him 2.5 or 3 years of his career.
Yeah, so the last time I actually saw him was March 12th, which was the day that spring training got suspended. And Phillies were away that day. They were in Port Charlotte. And he came to the ballpark in Clearwater and was leaving around lunchtime to go get an MRI. And that was the day, you know, that I saw him on his way out. And I asked him, you know, are you worried? And he said, yeah, you know, it's my life, or whatever it was that he said. Said how concerned he was that he was going to go get the MRI and that they'd probably have the results in a few days. So then spring training gets suspended and everybody sort of goes their separate ways, gets sent home and whatnot. And neither Matt Klentak nor Joe Girardi were very clear in the immediate aftermath of that about what would happen. So my sense was that maybe he was going for a second opinion, as one would normally do in a situation like this, or maybe you know, maybe with everybody going their separate ways, they hadn't had enough medical people look at the test results yet, or whatever it was. So now my understanding now is that for the first time, he's gotten a recommendation to have Tommy John surgery. I don't know who that came from. I don't know whether that's from just the Phillies medical staff. I don't know if Dr. Andrews reviewed the MRI as he did last year when he recommended no surgery but rest and rehab. So I don't know how many sets of eyes have looked at this and have given him this advice, but the advice is to have the surgery. But apparently the tests are not conclusive for a tear. I don't know what that means exactly. You hear things about partial tears and whatnot. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but apparently it's not a classic UCL tear like you'd have when it's a lock set surgery. So, because of that and because of this whole shutdown, he's gone home to the Dominican Republic and I guess is hoping that however long this shutdown lasts, that it will do him good and that he might still avoid surgery when they do come back, whenever that is. Now, of course, the downside of that is if he ends up needing surgery, this is all time that he could be recuperating. And, you know, instead of missing the majority of the 2021 season, he misses half of it or whatever. But then there's also the question of whether or not, you know, you should be getting Tommy John surgery right now. I know Chris Sale did. I know Noah Syndergaard did, but James Andrews, I read the other day, has said he's not going to be doing them anymore in light of the coronavirus. So it is an elective procedure. So there's that whole thing, that whole ethical area. And plus, he's out of the country, so it's hard to get him back right now to have him do that. So at any rate, it doesn't sound like anything's going to happen until they reconvene and decide where to go with this. And like I said, from a competitive standpoint, if he ends up needing surgery, like it sounds like he will, he's going to miss more time because it's not getting done yet.
Scott Lauber joining us. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it could take more time. And if it doesn't happen until July or whatever, I mean, we're talking about in the middle of next year before, at best, he could be back. Scott, that's not great, and we'll keep an eye on it. But the other thing, Scott, that, you know, when baseball came to their agreement last week with the players and the league on what this would look like, how they would distribute money and service time and all that, the one thing that popped to mind, Scott, is JT Realmuto. He's a free agent mm-hmm. after this year, and there might not be a season. And even if there is, it's going to be shortened. And, Scott, I said the other night, if I'm JT's agent, unless the Phillies are going to completely overpay ASAP, I'm going to go to free agency. I mean, part of the reason to sign now, if everything was normal and they were playing, would be he's a catcher. He could have an injury. He could get hurt. He'd have a down year, and then maybe his market's not great. But if let's say they come back in July and they play an 80 or a 60-game season, I think I would risk it. I think I would play it out. And if he plays well, he's going to have the Phillies against everyone else bidding against them in free agency. I think there's a better chance now JT goes to free agency. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree with that premise. And, you know, you shorten the calendar and certainly there's less of a risk for him to get hurt and whatnot. But let me turn it around on you and give it to you from the other side. So we know that they're not going to play a full season. And we know that even a $10.7 billion with a B industry is going to not produce its usual revenues that it normally does in a full season. If they play half a season, if they play a quarter of a season, whatever it is, what if the free agent market is depressed in the winter? And what if players who go out on that market do not receive the contracts that they had planned on receiving in a normal economic year? You know, it's possible Mookie Betts doesn't go out and get $400 million because teams just aren't going to spend that kind of money this particular offseason after losing money this year. So maybe his value is not as great as you would think it is before this shutdown and before all this stuff started. So, you know, that's the other side of it, is that no one really knows what the free agent market's going to look like when they do hit free agency. And maybe you want that contract or that security now. I wonder whether it's even on the table. I mean, my understanding is that with this roster freeze, that teams are not even allowed to negotiate extensions and whatnot at this time. And I'm not even sure why a team would necessarily, given the fact that you'd be negotiating based on last year's market, which, as I said, might not be the market this year. So there is a risk to not getting a deal done yet either. It might end up just being a bad year to be a free agent, and you don't wind up getting as much. Now, it's all relative, of course. He's still going to make a lot of money when he goes out there in free agency, and I'm not real worried about him getting a job and being very, very well compensated for doing it. But you know, it just might not be the contract he's been looking for this whole time.
Yeah, it's a fair point, and I guess that's going to be up to his agent and maybe everyone around baseball to kind of project what that would look like. But boy, Scott, if I had a guess, I would guess the Phillies find a way to make sure he doesn't leave here. But I could just tell you, there'd be a lot of people, a lot of Phillies fans, just holding their breath if he does go to free agency. Because I think there's been a feeling here that, like, all right, a lot of this offseason was procedural and they're going to sign him. They just didn't want to go over the tax this year. But if he gets to free agency and they only get a year or whatever this year, a year and a half out of him before everyone could bid, I think a lot of Phillies fans will be nervous because not only is he a tremendous player, I mean, he's really – you can't replace him. Like, there's no other way they can acquire a catcher that's like him. He's the best, and it's not like there's other good ones like him in free agency. It would be a major loss if somehow he left.
It would be, and of course it's a gamble. Of course it's a risk to let him reach that market because all you need is one team to just sort of, you know to just sort of go crazy, and then all of a sudden he's gone and you've lost him. But, you know, I do think that the Phillies will be positioned well in free agency. You know, they've got money coming off the books in Arrieta's contract and Robertson's contract and, possibly D.D. Gregorius's contract. You know, it was a one-year deal. So they're going to have money to spend. I think it's conceivable that they could, it could wind up going to free agency. They qualify him. He turns down the qualifying offer, so they receive the compensation should he leave, and then they just outbid everybody else. I mean, look, they're on record as saying he's the best catcher in baseball. That tells me that they will go to long lengths to keep him. So they didn't trade Sixto Sanchez and Jorge Alfaro for 1 year of JT Realmuto. So I do think that they're prepared to be the high bidder if it gets that far into free agency and they have to bid on him. But as I said, all it takes is one team to just go crazy, and all of a sudden you're not the high bidder, and all those good intentions go out the window. So of course it's a risk on both sides. But because of this whole roster freeze and whatnot, we may be headed for a free agent showdown, because that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, it would be something. Scott, I appreciate you hopping on tonight. We'll be reading over the Inquirer. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk soon.
You too, Joe. Thanks
there you go.
Lot.
Scott Lauber of the Inquirer talking some baseball with us. On the other side, we got a lot to get into here, including, I'm saying this, and I don't mean it lightly, a shocking NFL signing. Like a signing where I was like, I read it, I saw the name, Tucker asked me if I saw it, I said yes, I still don't believe it's real. It is April Fool's Day.
This guy was almost an Eagle.
He was. We're going to tell you who it is next. A shocking NFL signing, and one that does impact the Eagles if it works out. And today's Stratomatic Phillies result up in New York against the Mets. That's coming up. 215-592-9494. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.